Week one in the books, and the rich get richer. This is the push off.
Set 'em up and knock 'em down till the early morning light. Till you're laughing on the ground, drinking every single night. Where we're going, we don't know, and where we're going, we don't know. Where we're going, we don't know until we know. Where we're going, we don't know, and where we're going, we don't know.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Welcome to another episode of the Push Off Podcast. This is your weekly NFL show that discusses everything that happened last weekend, gets you ready for the next. I am your host, Scott Hogan, and sitting across from this table from me, as always,
Mitch Trubisky scored 3 points right.
Dan, week one in the books, and we both got big smiles on our faces.
Yes, we do. The smile is on my face for many, many reasons. Obviously, the Dallas Cowboys' absolute dismantling of the New York Football Giants.
Heyo.
But Deshaun Watson looked fucking great.
Mm.
Lamar Jackson looked the fucking real deal Holyfield.
You know, we'll have to talk about that.
Oh, man. Because I've been on the Lamar Jackson bandwagon for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I know he did against the Miami Dolphins. But he fucking destroyed the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
Ugh, God, I can't wait.
You couldn't have had a better game for the Ravens than we're going to hit on.
Oh, no.
Because we're going to hit on every game that happened week one, as well as, like I said, getting you ready for the next. We got to talk about week two's matchup.
I'm ready to go.
The season's ready to go. Nothing's ready to stop. But first, we got to catch up on this whole Antonio Brown saga as the saga continues. I think by the time we're done with this, it's just one of those names like, I just don't want to read it in the news anymore.
No, I really don't. I'm done the fucking Antonio Brown stuff. And the nice thing is, once he's on New England, it's over. Like, it's all over now. Like, we're going to get some tampering shit with New England, I'm sure.
Well, you know what? I mean, already he's with New England. They've said that since signing the contract, he hasn't had an Instagram post. He hasn't been all on a Facebook live video. Nothing's been up. Loaded or anything on social media. So maybe this is him in a spot that they've got his hands tied down or something. I don't know. Took his phone away.
No, he's still crazy.
Yeah.
Like, there's one of those things they do for, like, mental patients where they're just like, all right, take away his, like, belts and his shoes and, like, don't let him have any pens or pencils because he'll poke his own eyes out.
Yeah.
And then those people wind up shitting and writing all over the walls and shit. And you're like, well, we can't stop that. That's what happens to crazy people. You just can't stop it. You can do everything you can to prevent that crazy person from hurting themselves.
Yeah.
But eventually they're going to shit their cell and write all over the walls.
So again, let's get caught up on what we haven't talked about. It started with him being angry about a fine for missing practice. And that was $54,000, which now looking back is a drop in the bucket.
Oh yeah.
That led to the altercation in front of the players on the practice field with the GM, new GM, Mike Mayock, calling him a cracker and being held back by not only Vontaze Burfict, whatever.
Oh, you mean team leader Vontaze Burfict?
Team leader Vontaze Burfict. That happened Thursday, right before the Thursday game. So kickoff football, we're going to celebrate the 100 years. Not so fast. We got a lot of Antonio Brown stuff to talk about.
God, he's fucking crazy.
Shortly after that, on Instagram, I happened to like come across like 10 minutes that it was posted of that video of him taking the call from John Gruden. And John Gruden just, hey, what's going on there, man? What are you doing?
Yeah, what's the point of what we're doing? Just play football. Can you just play football?
And he's like, they've made me a villain, you know? You live long enough to see yourself become the villain. Whatever. Back and
or
forth.
Or you do
there.
Enough crazy shit to make yourself become the villain. It's pretty simple.
A lot of discussion on whether or not he was legally allowed to record his voice, but Gruden has come out since and said he gave the okay. So some of that buys into this circus that it was. After all this, the Raiders are arguing that he doesn't get his guaranteed money. Nearly $30 million. Returned back. Well, Antonio.
Well, it voids the guarantees. Like that money is still there for him to have.
Okay.
But it is no longer guaranteed. So like it's still in the contract. He can still earn it all, but it's not guaranteed.
Oh, okay.
So it becomes like signing bonus, but it becomes now voidable signing bonus if he's released.
How does he earn back a signing bonus when it was just going to be straight up because you're signing with us, you're getting $30 million?
Yeah, so I mean, at the same time, a lot of that signing bonus becomes like, oh, we'll bat you out here, we'll bat you out there, and it gets prorated over a certain amount of time.
Everybody makes up, let's say, on the Raiders, and they go forward, and it's a nice combination of the front office and Antonio Brown. They go, all right, here's your money back.
Exactly.
All's forgiven. Instead, it looked like Antonio Brown was done with it. He requests, all right, then release me. Go ahead and release me. There's another video of him getting released and super excited and smiling and dancing in his backyard calling his grandma. And that happens Saturday, and the day doesn't finish until we find out, but he's with the Patriots.
For more money than he was going to get paid on the Raiders.
1 year, $15 million. So he's not there for a full contract thing.
Sure, but that's $15 million. He's going to make all of that this year.
He's going to make all that this year, which you're right. It was more for this year. In the long run, it's a smaller amount because he wouldn't be there through multiple years.
Sure.
They're still on the books of the Steelers paying part of his stuff. And a rumor that the Steelers were offered a better draft pick scenario with the Patriots to trade him there, and they said no. You're our quote-unquote rival. We've noticed Sunday night that's not the case anymore. But you're our rival. We're not going to let you have him. Well, sure enough, he ends up there. So all of this being done. Oh, and then today the Patriots trade off Demaryius Thomas to the Jets for a sixth-round pick.
Because they're like, we cut this motherfucker a week ago.
We cut him. We brought him back. Now there's 84 in the building. There's no reason to have him.
Yeah. Which, good for Demaryius Thomas, because I would not want to have seen him languish on the bench.
No.
On this very talented wide receiver core now.
He's dealt with some injuries, but he's not fully over the hill yet. He doesn't have many years left, so let's see him do him in New York.
He is a lemon that would not fully flavor a drink of water right now. He's got some juice. There's a hint of lemon in your water.
Mm. Do I taste lemon? Yeah, some old lemon. So when you found out that Antonio Brown's heading to the Patriots, because that's the most recent thing here, what were your thoughts?
My thoughts were, of fucking course.
Right.
Of fucking course.
Everybody was saying it during the day, too. It's like, well, the Patriots will come calling.
Like, yeah, because the Patriots are like, all right, who is the greatest wide receiver in the NFL? Like, physically most talented, most productive wide receiver in the NFL for the last 8 years.
Oh, you combine the 8 years, and it's not DeAndre Hopkins.
No, DeAndre Hopkins is, oh my God. Mm. We'll talk about that later. But in terms of, like, who's been the most productive over the last 8 years, obviously,
you got Antonio Brown.
It's Antonio Brown. He's put up the best numbers since Jerry Rice, on pace to surpass Jerry Rice.
We've been saying for the last 2 years on this show, yep.
Also, on pace to kidnap a bus full of school children. So it's not exactly a slam dunk situation for the Patriots, but Belichick saying the most obvious shit, he goes, they said the same thing about Moss.
Yeah, perfect quote. And absolutely, if there was a team that could wrangle him in for at least a year, I think it's a winning Patriots team.
Oh, yeah. This is a team that people were asking, like, well, do you want him to go to the Cowboys? I was like, no, because I want Dak Prescott to establish himself as a leader.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy like Antonio Brown makes that impossible.
Mm-hmm.
There is no question that Tom Brady is the leader of the New England Patriots. Antonio Brown coming in here becomes an accessory to Tom Brady. He's not even the center ring of a three-ring circus,
mm-hmm.
where he goes anywhere else in the league. He's the center ring of a three-ring circus. There is no circus in town for the New England Patriots. There's a tent, but no one's allowed inside. So whatever the fuck is going on in there, we're never going to find out about it until they release him for some bizarre-ass reason, like not flossing properly. Who fucking knows?
It just proves that the Patriots have a way with not only their personnel, but their front office, and this is why success is breeding success for them. And it just continues.
Well, it's a shame they looked like shit against the Steelers and are no longer a threat in the AFC.
Yeah, right? Yeah, that happened. No. And then, obviously, the Raiders get back their money so they can move on from this. God dang, the Bills have to be very excited that this didn't go their way.
Yeah, exactly.
For that half a day there, he was heading there, so they dodged a bullet. But
now, think about how much draft capital the Raiders have sent the direction of the Pittsburgh Steelers for two wide receivers that aren't even on their team anymore.
That's right. Martavis Bryant.
Two-thirds and a fifth to not have a wide receiver. That's fucking crazy. Why don't you just send a fucking second rounder and be like, please punch me in my throat?
And it was obvious when we watched Monday night that the Raiders need a wide receiver. Oh, wait a minute. These things just keep flipping around in your head when you think you need this and you need that. So you play the games.
Things look pretty good over there in Oakland. Maybe. They don't look fucking terrible, I'll tell you that much.
Do you buy into any bit of how early was it like, we're going to get Antonio Brown the Patriots. The Patriots want this. Antonio Brown wants this. We're going to start moving arrows that direction. How early do you think that started happening?
I think probably when did Bill Belichick take over the New England Patriots?
Yeah, okay. So I'm wondering that,
I think
too.
It's that far back. I think these are seeds that were planted at Pro Bowls. These are things that are like, oh, I'd love to have Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown's one of the best wide receivers in the generation. And you have a man who is proud. He's a proud man. And the greatest coach in NFL history is like best wide receiver in the NFL. I want to play for that guy. The guy that strokes my ego because I'm so fucking great. And he was great. But this is the best coach in the NFL history telling you what you already know.
The NFL already came out and said, we're not looking into this. It's all in the up and up. He's a Patriot now and everything's completed. As fast as that signing happened, can't believe that there wasn't some conversation going on before the Raiders released him.
I believe there was conversation. I believe there wasn't conversation directly before the Raiders released him.
Okay.
I believe there was a conversation months ago when the Patriots were trying to acquire him from Pittsburgh.
And you're right. And if, since we know about that and there was trade talks in the air, then that wasn't any violation of any NFL rights to talk to him.
I'm sure some things were said or some things were implied that said, like, well, you'd always have a spot with us. Like, if things don't work out with Oakland, you'd always have a spot with us. And he's like, ha, I'll make things not work out with Oakland.
Right. I'm wondering, yeah, if it wasn't like right before he posts this Instagram thing saying, then just release me, Raiders, that he'd not call up New England and or Drew Rosenhaus's agent and be like, let's say, in a perfect world, Antonio Brown found himself a free agent. What would you do to that? And they'd be like, yeah, we'll be on the phone here in a little bit.
Yeah. I think the funny thing is the Raiders handled this very poorly because they should have suspended him.
Okay.
They should have suspended him.
Which they did initially.
But they should have just been like, fuck it, you're suspended. Like, you literally accosted or verbally attacked the GM.
Yeah.
You're suspended for multiple games.
Yeah.
It would be very hard for the NFLPA to fight something like that, where it's like, hey, I have a bunch of witnesses that this dude called the GM of the organization a cracker motherfucker. I'm suspending him for conduct detrimental to the team. If he keeps that shit up, I'm going to suspend him again. If I'm at the point where I'm going to cut this motherfucker and I've already voided his guarantees, I'm not giving him what he wants.
Okay.
Why the fuck would I give him what he wants?
Which is his release.
I'd say stay away from the facility. Talk shit as much as you want. You're going to be a distraction or you're going to be somebody else's player. Neither one of those is good for me, but one of them is directly bad for me.
For Antonio Brown, too.
Yeah.
Which would tell him to maybe, I don't know, quiet up and rejoin the Raiders. Would he do that, though?
No, what I would do is I would suspend him for as many weeks as I could, and then I'd cut him.
And then cut him. Okay. Yeah, I wonder if the NFL didn't have a say. You're like, oh, let's not have the most electric player, one of the most electric players sitting on the sidelines, but...
If I'm the Raiders, I'm like, cool, can I get one of them third round picks back? That's what I'm doing to make sure he doesn't stay suspended.
So this story will be ongoing. He didn't even play week one. He wasn't on the sidelines.
He's in the box.
He'll be there for week two, though, and so we will discuss that when we get to those matchups.
Good Lord.
Let's run through some extensions. Some people got paid. We already brought up Ezekiel Elliott was going to. That happened after our podcast.
And it was the money we were talking about is, you know,
exactly
6-year extension, $90 million. He's under team control for 8 years. There's some language in that contract that does void guarantees if he gets suspended again.
Okay.
So we're in that same sort of region where it's like, we can void this if you get suspended, if you pull some shit, you know, even if you get arrested or whatever it is, we can void those guarantees. It doesn't mean they will. It means they reserve the right to do so.
And now that he's on there, you happy boy?
Oh, I'm very happy. And, you know, after the fucking game Dak put together, I'm like, oh, I'm running out of money. Yeah, we're going to have to pay that motherfucker so much.
Oh,
and
Dex.
Cooper looked fucking fantastic.
Oh, yeah, I know. These guys are like, okay, this team pays. I've noticed that.
And Lael Collins, Pro Football Focus had him rated just as the best lineman in the league last week. Even if you don't, I don't always agree with Pro Football Focus, but holy shit, Lael Collins wrecked dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Wrecked dudes. Once again, wrecked the Giants defense, so... I'm going to hide my laurels for now. But
that's the thing with week one. You're like, oh, man, if we play like this, like, well, we're not going to play the Giants every week.
But the Giants didn't fucking play us close, did they?
No,
they
true.
Didn't. They got blown out of the fucking water. They had to bring in their backup in the fourth quarter because it was fucking trash.
I don't know
brought in Cooper
to.
Rush to play some snaps. guys, they're not in the game.
All right. Also, extensions this week. Jared Goff. Jared Goff gets 4 years, $134 million. 110 of that is guaranteed, which is an NFL record.
And that is stupid as shit. I hope they've got some voidables that, like, if he loses a tooth, he loses all those guarantees. And then just Sean McVay just starts punching him in the face whenever he gets an opportunity.
It is a lot of money for a guy that you say, too, a lot of it depends on McVay and his ear.
He's a system quarterback.
Yeah.
He's a fucking system quarterback. Why are you paying a system quarterback that much fucking money? And the worst part is, for the optics of it, like, because L.A. is all about optics right now. Where they're like, we want to be the place where you want to go to sign big money deals. We're the fucking L.A. Rams. We're a marquee team. Not for another year or so. I know they beat the Panthers this week. But you can tell that team is not what they used to be. Yeah. You can tell from watching the game. You can tell Goff, his pressure sense, he got sacked in the first quarter of that game, and it was fucking brutal. It was like one of the worst sacks I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Motherfucker just like didn't throw the ball away. It was well outside the pocket, and he's just like, oh, fuck it, I'll take the sack. Stupid. Just stupid bullshit because his coach isn't in his ear telling him exactly what to do.
But he's a first overall pick in the league. It was his time up. These quarterback contracts just kind of, that's a ladder. They go up, 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 up.
I mean, that $40 million is looking less and less insane for Dak. It feels insane for the salary cap, but for Dak, if he puts another couple weeks like that together, it's going to be hard to fight it.
You better hope that he doesn't just, I got to be the next guy up. I got to be the next highest.
I hope he does.
I don't know how you guys afford it, but we keep going.
Oh, I don't know either.
The Chiefs extended Tyreek Hill, showing that they're not too worried about his off-field column antics, just as the most.
We don't have time for this shit again.
Clearing this up. 3 years, $54 million.
It's a lot of money for a wide receiver. He's also been one of the best wide receivers in the league.
Also
complete.
Awful injury this week.
Yeah. Shitbox of a person.
Mm.
God, what an electric player.
Yeah.
You know, Antonio Brown's insane, but Tyreek Hill is an asshole.
And then Julio Jones, 3 years, $66
million. Deserves more money than that. He is the fucking Falcons offense.
He is, but They're growing in another direction, I feel like. Julio Jones is not an old guy. I don't think he's going to play as long as we see Larry Fitzgerald playing, though.
No, he's got a lot of body damage, too, though. He's a guy that plays physical, gets physical back. Larry Fitzgerald has always been like, good day to you, sir. Like a respectful handshake, and then
I'm going to go up over your head and bring this ball in because I have an amazing radius.
But just safely.
I'll go down to the ground.
Yeah, I'm going to do it safely. I'm not going to try to charge through you like a bull or like a, you know, speed freak.
Julio Jones is great because he runs every route.
Oh, yeah.
And he's one of the best at it.
So fucking fast, so strong, such great hands. So Julio Jones is perfect.
Yeah, good for him getting that money. Mm-hmm. All right, Dan, we are up to talk about these games.
God damn, they were great.
And as I like to do with these games, I like to pick a game of the week to start with. And this week, there was a couple of times I was like, it's hard to pick.
We were talking Sunday night. We're like, what is the game of the week?
Right.
Like, there's a bunch of really good games here.
Rams-Panthers are there.
Oh,
there was
great.
Two that went to overtime, one that ended in a tie.
Oh, so many choices.
Yeah, some tight games. And then it all made clear.
In the end, our Monday choice was night. Made for us.
Made for us. Monday night, the early game. Of course it would be. And also in these weeks, too, heading into them, I think, you know, the picks are ready. The picks are going again.
Mm-hmm.
And Thursday night hit, and you were already ahead of me taking them Packers and winning.
Hey.
So I was like, shoot, how long will this last? Well, let's get to the games. The first one is Texans 28, Saints 30. Dan, who'd you take?
I believe I took those Houston Texans.
Okay, so I took the Saints, so I got that one. All right, we're back to even.
What a fucking game, though.
Oh, it was an amazing game. Watson with three touchdowns and ran one in, so he was in control of all four.
Just an electric quarterback. Like, the positions you would see him throw from, the reads he would make, the pressure sense, he's an elite quarterback. This is the year he moves himself into the MVP conversation. Watching that game yesterday, I have no doubt that these Texans are going to win the AFC South and are going to be a real fucking force.
These two teams were doing anything you can do, I can do better.
It was great.
Through the whole game. I keep telling everybody, that game had three endings. I was like, okay, well, now it's over.
Yeah.
The Saints
won. Oh, it has
to
be over now.
Oh, my God, look at that. The Texans won. Holy shit, 58 yards. The Saints won. Kamara, Thomas, there were Breeze's weapons. Watkins went to Hopkins. Ginn Jr. had over 100 yards. The Saints' D had six sacks.
They look good.
Yeah, watching that, I was kind of surprised. Breeze has a bad interception inside the 10-yard line where it just looked like he could have floated it to Murray.
Yeah, that was
and
pretty
just
bad.
Threw it right to him. So it was like, oh, maybe the Saints aren't what they were last year, and it was a, you know, It was one of our questions, like, does Breeze have it still? He proved he did. At the end of this game, as it kept going, he's like, I'll go win it. I'll win it with my arm. I'll win it with my shoulder. Yeah. And he did. But, yeah, it was the ending that was so great. Texans kept doing long drives throughout this game, too. And then
they would give up sacks, and then Watson would be like, oh, that's okay. I'll get that shit back.
Yeah, and he did. And it was nuts. Saints take a 6-point lead with under a minute left. You figured that was it. Just over 3 minutes. Texans can't do anything with the ball. They punt it back, have on all three timeouts, and the Saints just kept moving it down the field and getting first downs. But they held in that field goal, which made it just a 6-point game. Texans score two plays, leaving 37 seconds on the clock.
I can't believe they scored too fast.
No, it didn't seem like it at the time. Fairbairn misses the extra point initially, but then gets a roughing the kicker call.
It should have been a running into the kicker rather than a roughing the kicker, but it was his plant leg.
Yeah. I mean, it still would have been another kick.
Either way, he's going to get another
5 yards closer instead of 15, so yeah. a little bit longer of a kick, but he didn't miss it because it was too far back.
Yeah, he just missed it wide. Shanked it.
Yeah, he shanked it. But he makes it. They take a 1-point lead. I'm celebrating. I wanted the Texans to win. And then the Saints were not done. They get down the field. They're playing prevent D. I don't know. I mean, everybody wants to blame the Texans' defense. They talked about there was a lot of tight games the Texans lost last year due to playing prevent D. But the guys were standing there on the 40-yard line, tackled him as soon as he touched the ball. It was a 58-yard field goal. I wouldn't call that range.
No, that's out of field goal range. That's slightly out of field goal range. The one thing that I was screaming about, I was like, this poor clock management wound up being fucking genius. They clocked the ball rather than using timeout.
Yeah, I was like, you got to use that timeout.
I was like, you guys are fucking crazy. This is so fucking stupid. And then they hit just the perfect route, perfect timing, and called it with 1 second left. Holy shit.
Yeah. So it worked out very well for the Saints. You wondered a couple of calls there if they just have the turn of the fans against these refs. Everybody showing up in referee stripes of the fan base there in New Orleans. So
the refs were like, please don't have an offsides. Please don't let this come down to a penalty.
But I think they played it. They called the game straight.
Did a good job, yeah.
Yeah, there wasn't anything that was questionable. They're going like, we better give the Saints a little cheese on our side.
They stayed out of the way, which is all you can really ask for from the refs.
Exactly.
They stayed out of the way for most of the game, and they called it nice and even. They weren't chippy on pass interference, which was my fear, is that they'd be like, everything's pass interference now. We're in New Orleans.
Right.
Like, both ways. Who gives a shit? But it was a well-called game. It was a well-coached game.
Yeah.
Both of these coaches, I can't fault them for the prevent defense because it's fucking Drew Brees. You got to keep that shit in front of you. And you're playing the clock at that point.
Yeah.
You know, if this was 2 minutes and you're in a prevent, fuck you. That's stupid. This is less than 40 seconds. They've got one timeout. You're basically standing at the 50 saying keep it in front of you. And then you're standing at the 40 saying keep it in front of you. They did what they were supposed to do both times.
Mm-hmm.
And Will Lutz just hits a fucking monster game-winning field goal with 1 second left. What are you going to do?
Great game. It might be one of the top 10 here at the end of this season.
This might be a Super Bowl preview.
Oh, damn. And I would be fine watching these two teams again. That was a great play.
This is what Chiefs-Saints could have been in the Super Bowl if the NFL... Just fix it that way this year. Don't let the Patriots back in NFL. It's all I'm asking.
Let's move on. Let's go to the next game. Rams at Panthers is the one I have here. Dan, who'd you take in this one?
I took them Panthers.
Which meant the Rams won 30, Panthers 27. Goff and his new contract gets him one touchdown, one interception. Gurley was back, 101 total yards from scrimmage.
Didn't look fantastic.
He was getting separation with Malcolm Brown. Malcolm Brown, their number two guy, not so much Henderson.
Yeah.
So fantasy guys, Malcolm Brown, 2 touchdowns.
I was hoping Henderson, but yeah, Malcolm Brown is the way to go. Watching this game didn't feel like the Rams were a more talented team.
Yeah.
It felt like the Panthers were making mistakes.
Panthers got in their way, their own way a couple of times, but they kept this game close. Christian McCaffrey, again, is just all their offense.
Oh, you mean my number one overall pick in fantasy?
Mm-hmm. Yep. No, and it was well worth it today for that week, 209 total yards, 2 touchdowns. This game was 23-13 Rams in control of it into the fourth, but you get a blocked punt, interception. All of a sudden, the Panthers were coming back. They made it close. But then the Rams has kind of ran with it at the end of that game.
The Rams have figured out a way that even on good defenses, they can run it down your fucking throat. And clearly, after we watched the Cowboys get shit stomped last year, they don't need Gurley to do it. They've got enough scheme. They've got enough linemen. They've got good enough blocking sense that they can run over you with anybody.
Rams win this game, I think. I picked the Rams to win the division, then Seattle got a little bit better, and I got a little worried. You were more on their downtick, which could still happen here, but I felt like watching this game, I was seeing two classes of the NFC who should be battling for playoff spots.
I think the Rams told me that maybe they might be a playoff team after all. Mm-hmm. I still think these, you know, Cam did not have a great game.
Nope, just an interception under 300 yards.
But I still think he's going to be a guy that is a force to be reckoned with as the season moves on.
As long as he's healthy.
As long as he's healthy. I just hope he stays healthy. Yeah. This Carolina team is just fucking good, kind of top to bottom. Mm-hmm. They've got good wide receivers, even though they were making mistakes. They've got one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and they've got the best running back, in my mind, in the NFL. So hear that I just said that. As a Dallas Cowboys fan,
yeah.
The best running back in the NFL, best all-purpose running back in the NFL is Christian McCaffrey.
Now, Christian McCaffrey is their entire offense, and I mean, the Cowboys haven't had to lean on Zeke like that in the last year and a half because of the trade from Cooper and Dak coming into his own, things like that, so we'll talk about that, but you're right. I don't know how the Panthers move the ball if 22 is not in there. I don't know.
I think he is the engine that moves that offense,
yeah.
And Cam used to be, I think... If Cam can get to a spot where he's more facilitator than playmaker, I think that's going to be great. And if he can throw a little playmaker in there from once, you know, a time and again, that'll make him a more complete team.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. More facilitator means less of a chance to get hurt. If he is healthy and able to make these big plays in late in the season, that's when they need him.
Yeah, that's
it. That was what happened.
The problem is last year they were playing for the beginning of the season, and they got out and... You know, we're a fucking stormtrooper of a team. And then Cam fell apart and so did the season. Keep him healthy. Wait for the attrition to hit other teams.
Yeah, play for the long run.
Yeah, play for the long run. Let Christian McCaffrey run the shit out of that ball. You know, spell him a little bit. But yeah, widen that offense if you can.
Yeah, so even though the Panthers lost this one and lost it at home, not time to worry yet. You got yourself a talent there. Let's talk about the matchup that we can talk about here for next week. The New Orleans Saints, this time they go to L.A., but it is a rematch of the NFC Championship game. We're getting it week two.
Give me the motherfucking Saints.
Yeah.
You think I'm going to be on the Rams side of this? Not a fucking chance. After the Rams stole their way into a Super Bowl, and then these fucking Saints give me the best game of week one, of course I'm going Saints.
Oh, and you got to expect the Saints are going to be looking for a little redemption.
Vendetta.
That's right. The vindication of this. And... I like the Saints as a full team more so too this year than the Rams. So I'm going to take the Saints on the road here too, but I believe in the Rams a whole little bit more than I think you do. So
I think so, yeah.
When I'm saying that I'll still take the Saints on the road, I think that speaks volumes too of how good I think these Saints could be again.
Saints are really good.
All right, let's move on. Let's talk about another game from Sunday. This one's in the afternoon. The 49ers beat the Buccaneers 31-17. Dan, who did you?
I took the Buccaneers.
You see the running joke I have going here.
In the first half, it did not look like the 49ers were ready to play this game.
Here's the thing. It was a tight game. Garoppolo, a touchdown. The interception that goes back for a pick six. It was like, Tampa, whose defense was gross last year.
Yeah, they were disgusting.
Really wasn't, at least in most of this game, until it got away from them. How did it get away from? Well, because Jameis Winston threw three interceptions.
He's
one of them was a pick six,
turd.
Too. Yeah,
Jameis Winston's a fucking turd.
He's a turnover machine, and he shouldn't last the year.
He's a turdover machine.
I have no idea who would come in place of Jameis Winston on this team.
Dude, I hope fucking the Kangol just starts taking snaps. That's all I'm hoping for. Is Bruce Arians gets in there and is like, let me show you how to do this little whippersnapper.
Buccaneers turned over that ball four times in that game. Lots of penalties in this game, too. Kind of an ugly game from both sides.
Oh, yeah.
And then Tevin Coleman, who was finally... All right, good. Niners have a running back they want to lean on. Boom. High ankle sprain. He's not going to be ready for week two.
Yeah, this 49ers team just keeps getting attrition after attrition. It's a real bummer.
So, this game that we were expecting, kind of a coin flip of a game, it kind of was because it was two teams that really weren't ready to play.
Yeah, neither one was ready to play. It was real sloppy, and then eventually the 49ers did enough to put it away.
Yeah.
But it never felt like either one of these teams was like in control of this game because neither team felt like they were in control of their team.
And that's a big through storyline of week one was who was ready to play week one and who wasn't. So far, we've talked about games. The first two, Texans, Saints, both were
ready to go.
Rams, Panthers, absolutely. This one, I don't think either was.
In one of my leagues, I went up against a guy, and we had in one of my fantasy leagues. It was the number one and the number two scores for the week.
Yeah.
And I lost. And I was so fucking bummed. But at the same time, I'm like, well, I'll see this motherfucker in the championship. I was like, my team is stacked and ready to go. I hope that is how the Texans feel.
Yeah.
Because that's what it looked like to me. But it always sucks to come out of week one with a loss. And I always tell everybody, don't panic. Week one, do not panic. You're going to have many opportunities to get this thing right. You go 0-4, pack it in. You go 0-1, get one next week.
I mean, you're right. The Texans lost a NFC game on the road. So that looks a whole lot better of an 0-1 than the Panthers, who lost a home game in conference.
Exactly.
Against a Rams team, they'll probably be hanging around.
That's a tougher one.
That's a tougher one. That's stuff to watch out for. All right. This allows us to talk about next week's Thursday Night Football. We know you're listening to this as it came out. So tomorrow, we got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going to Carolina. Rawr, playing the Panthers.
You can't feel good about that Tampa Bay team coming up against this Carolina team.
You saying you're not firing cannons this week?
I am not firing the cannons. The cannons shall remain wickless.
Well, and now we're into, you got short weeks, Thursday games. Week one, Bears, Packers won. Anything could have happened. But short week ones, that home team gets so much more of a curb on those games. So, yeah, I'll take the Panthers to beat up on the Bucks here.
Especially because it's not like the Panthers are coming back from L.A. The Panthers have stayed in town.
That's right.
And they are ready to go. They are chippy. They want a win. They do not want to start the season 0-2. Whereas Tampa Bay, perfectly fine with it.
I mean, I think Tampa turns the ball over multiple times, and the Panthers win by two scores.
I think so.
Yeah. All right. Let's discuss the game that was both of our locks. The Cincinnati Bengals, 20. The Seattle Seahawks, 21.
Somebody tried to pick our lock.
Oh, my God. Sweated this game. It was the one I had a friend, too, in one of those survival leagues.
They were my pick in the survival league, too.
I honestly told him both the NFC East games, like, you could take the Eagles, you could take the Cowboys, feel good about those, but they're divisional.
Yeah, is always wonky.
And, yeah, anything can happen. So it's like, so I would go with Seattle at home, these Bengals coming all across country, they don't have their best wide receiver. There's no way that, oh, my God, it might happen.
Andy Dalton's slinging that fucking rock.
He sure was. They snuck out of it, though, but Dalton had 418 yards, two touchdowns, both of them to John Ross. Remember John Ross?
I do remember John Ross.
He's still alive.
Yeah, John Ross III, still speedy.
158 yards in this game.
John Ross? Who the fuck drafted John Ross after his years of disappointment? Fucking person.
Yeah, fantasy wise, I was gonna say that. I was like, yeah, this is a guy. This is a waiver wire here for you guys, John Ross. And then Wilson had two touchdowns. Carson had two on the ground. Carson is their bell cow still. I don't know if we see. Is it
Penny?
I was like, it's not Penny or Perry. What is
it? Luke Perry.
Rashad Penny. I don't know if we see him start taking those carries, but right now it's Carson's.
He had a good game, but at the same time, you couldn't look at Chris Carson's game and be like, what a fucking elite running back. You know, he had 15 carries for 46 yards.
Mm-hmm.
That's not elite running back production. Now, Rashad Penny only had 6 carries for 18, so that's not enough either.
That's true.
But
that's true.
Russell Wilson obviously has that magic. He is never out of a game. This was a Cincinnati team that was like, seemed almost like they were shocked that they were winning.
They came into that game strong, and then they were ahead. They score that long pass John Ross right before halftime, and they get to go into the half feeling pretty good about themselves. They should feel good about this whole game.
They should.
They could have very well been pushed around, and no one would have thought of less of them. But they played strong, and then I just think Seattle looked stronger and better as the game went on.
Now, this game, if Seattle wasn't at home, I don't know if Seattle wins this game.
Yeah.
So, a three-point difference. I always think that a home field advantage is a three-point advantage. You know, it's a field goal advantage. And so I think they would have lost this game in Cincinnati. Cincinnati was ready to play, and it didn't seem like the Seahawks were, especially in the first half.
Since he covered the spread, you're right. I think, in that story through line, Bengals were ready. Seahawks figured it out in time, but oof, they did.
Close.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about a game for next week. The San Francisco 49ers to Cincinnati to play those Bengals.
Am I going to jump on the Bengals bandwagon?
Huh?
I am.
Oh.
I am going to jump on them. Once again, I just keep having that feeling. I don't like San Francisco traveling as much as they do. I don't like the injury to the running back position. I don't think Garoppolo looked particularly impressive last week.
No.
And Andy Dalton is a red rifle, baby. He's ready to go. So I'm actually going to take Cincinnati this week in an upset.
Yeah, I don't think Cincinnati is still going to surprise us. Last year they had this fast start where there was a couple of weeks in there. You're like, who wins the AFC North? Is it the Bengals? Could it be the Bengals? They beat Ravens early on, but that was still a Flacco-led Ravens. Still a Flacco. Now listen to me. but you're right. Niners going from West Coast to East Coast, playing these Bengals back at home. They don't have Tevin Coleman. Garoppolo hasn't figured out yet. And we're like, everyone was so ready to crown Garoppolo when he came over to San Francisco. We got to see it first now.
Yeah,
now I'm like, I haven't seen it yet.
Show me the money. Show me the proof, motherfucker. I don't see it.
So I think I'm with you. I'm going to take the Bengals at home in this one.
Man, when are we going to start disagreeing?
I don't know. But that's going to be a tight game, though. I think it is. All right. Let's talk about the Kansas City Chiefs. Going to Jacksonville, beating the Jaguars 40-26. We both picked this one, right?
We did. Close game. Closer than I anticipated. But then Jacksonville defense... even though the Chiefs put up 40 on them, that Jacksonville defense looks pretty good.
It was closer than the score allowed, that's true. I think the Jacksonville defense felt a little bit of that balloon deflation when Foles went down.
Yeah.
Which is weird to say because he's on the offense, but when he is like your main guy that you point at of, this is who we went and got to fix our team that was really good 2 years ago and then bottomed out last year. It was the quarterback's fault. It was totally Bortles.
Look, we got a new one for you.
We got a Super Bowl MVP here. We got Nick Foles, and he's gone. He threw
had a good game.
Yeah.
To start, too.
I mean, that pass that he gets knocked out on was a beautiful rainbow to DJ Chark.
Gorgeous.
And you're like, okay, the Jaguars got an offense. Why isn't he getting up? Which is just sucks to see.
Stop hitting him. He's already dead.
I don't think that Foles... was going to be the savior of the Jaguars like they were hoping, but I wanted to see him try.
He was going to make that offense respectable.
Yeah.
And DJ Chark coming out having 4 receptions for 146, that's kind of what we had hoped for when he got drafted. We talked about him 2 years ago coming out of LSU. This is the DJ Chark. Yeah, he was a sixth rounder, but this is the DJ Chark that we wanted. This is the DJ Chark we saw was like capable. That's his ceiling. So it seems like he's touching his ceiling. I'd be pretty happy if I'm the Jacksonville Jaguars after this week.
Takes a little bit for wide receivers and new in the league to get going, and he's there now. However, Gardner Minshew will probably be throwing him the ball. They did make a trade for Josh Dobbs, the backup for the Steelers.
I mean, the good thing is they didn't go out and say, oh, let's get a veteran backup.
Right.
You know, they basically said, hey, Gardner, this is going to be you for as long as Foles is out.
That's what I think the Dobbs trade said, too.
Yeah, it basically says, we're not coming in here challenging Nick Foles. We're not coming in here even challenging Gardner Minshew. We just need someone who's a capable backup to sit in here in case you get your fucking collarbone broken.
But I didn't realize that when I saw that and Minshew was in. I was like, all right, they're playing Minshew, because I was trying to think, like, is Cody Kessler still there? No? Okay. And then Minshew's in, and I'm like, well, I guess you roll with that until you're like, that's their holding other quarterback on the roster. Oh, well, then they have to pick somebody.
Somebody's got to be there.
And so they make the trade. We'll see how that goes. The Chiefs did not leave this game fully scratch-free either, as Tyreek Hill goes down and goes to the hospital with a shoulder injury.
Yeah, that's always tough. I mean, Tyreek Hill's a bit of a bitch, though, so who knows?
yeah. No, I mean, he's an exciting player, so in that aspect, you're like, oh, shoot, that would have been fun to see. But we know kind of the shitty person that he is, so it was like, okay, well, so be it.
And I'll tell you what, Gardner Minshew looks fun. And
yeah,
I get to say the name Gardner Minshew more than I thought I was going to this year.
I know. It's a fun name to say. Let's also talk about how Sammy Watkins showed up. Sammy Watkins was the guy you heard on Monday at work on, guess who was on my bench? Guess who was on my fantasy bench with 3 touchdowns? It was Sammy Watkins.
And with Tyreek Hill out, Sammy Watkins is going to get some fucking looks.
That's what I told everybody. It's like, okay, yeah, oh, boo-hoo, he was on your bench this week. Now you can start him because he's going to be like... number one wide
for
receiver.
As long as Hill is out, he is the number one.
You got Kelsey still that'll take some targets, but still, he'll be fine. And Mahomes just picking up where he left off, 378 yards, three touchdowns.
So fucking good.
Yeesh. These Chiefs look good, but what we want to talk about is the Jaguars in an AFC South matchup. They go to Houston, play them Texans.
They're going
to
lose against the Texans. With Gardner Minshew, tough.
Stack up start to the Jaguars season.
Poor bastards.
Chiefs, I mean, and then
we talked
Texans.
About the Jaguars having a tough go of it just with their schedule alone.
Yeah.
And to go and add Nick Foles' injury to that, that's, you can't come back from that shit.
It's a rough start for the Jaguars, who had such a deflating year last year. The fan base was finally showing up. We made some Jaguars
Duval.
Fans. Yeah, the Duval's the scenario. I mean, it was a fun group of guys that like, yeah, let's go Jaguars.
Yeah,
beat those Steelers in the playoffs.
Come
let's
on.
Go. And now it's all coming crumbling back to earth. All hopes that Gardner Minshew proves to be something.
Hope he's great.
But, I'm not picking against the one true Deshaun Watson.
No,
not this week.
You don't pick against the one true God, against a rookie sixth-round pick out of Washington State.
So I think what we're finding out here is that you and me are already golden. We know exactly where all these teams are going because we're picking the same way so far.
Pretty much, yeah.
We'll see how this continues. But this is a good place for a break because when we come back, we've got plenty more games from week one to cover.
And the return of the two-minute no offense.
That's right. That's right after this. So stay tuned. You are listening to The Pushers. Okay, thanks so much for sticking with us. Obviously you are, because you need to hear about our thoughts on the rest of the games of week one. Now, always, each week, there's so many games that are played, and we don't want to talk your ears off for 3 hours, so there's ways to make this podcast a little bit shorter, a little bit quicker, and there's also a few games that you just don't need to pay close attention to, and that is where we have our two-minute no offense.
Because no offense, but if you play for the Miami Dolphins, you didn't show up to work on Sunday. Why should I have to spend any fucking time talking about the bullshit you put out there?
Yeah.
I'm ready to go.
All right,
you ready
good.
To go?
Yeah. Start that clock.
Ready to go.
It is Ravens 59, Dolphins 10. We both picked it.
God, what a piece of shit game by the Dolphins. I can't believe that as far along ago as 2 weeks ago, I was like, these Dolphins got a shot at this. What a moron I am. Why are you listening to this podcast? I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Ever since this game, Dolphins fans have been calling their agents, get me out of Miami.
Oh, yeah.
It's sun and fun, but there's no fun in Hard Rock Stadium.
No, this is a team that is sunk, that is literally drilling a hole in the bottom of their own boat just to sink faster.
Jackson's thrown five touchdowns, two to Hollywood Brown.
Looked great.
These Ravens look fun, but maybe they just played the Dolphins.
Definitely played the Dolphins, but they do look fun.
We'll have to see. All right, game two, Steelers 3, Patriots 33. We both picked this one.
You can't come out and embarrass yourself like that, Pittsburgh. I mean, what the fuck are you doing? Although this New England Patriots team reinvents itself every single week. They have more weapons than should be allowed on any team, let alone a repeat Super Bowl champion. Fuck you, New England.
And they're adding more. No, we thought Steelers were going to take a nosedive this year. As it got closer to game time, I'm like, well, maybe they'll show up. They never did.
Nope.
33-3.
This year they're actually playing to their competition, and they're getting throat stomped by good teams.
It was nothing. It was 20-0 Patriots at the half. Steelers had a fourth down and goal at the one, settle for a field goal. Their win probability went down.
This game was not even as close as the final score. New England had them by the throat from the first quarter.
And then finally, the last one in this one I want to talk about, Packers 10, Bears 3. It was the Thursday night game, which Dan, you picked.
See, I actually enjoyed this game. Like, I know it's in the 2 minute no offense, but this game for me was very enjoyable watching Mitch Trubisky again shit the bed against a hated rival, having a completion percentage under 60%. This fucking guy looked bad, and this Bears offense looked fucking bad, and it looks like it's coordinated poorly. I picked the Bears to regress this season, and this game showed me why I did that.
Yep. No, and as we're hitting the end of the 2 minute no offense right now,
there it is.
We can spend a little bit more time there. You're right. Packers defense, five sacks and an interception. They looked pretty good.
I was telling you.
Or is it the Bears weren't ready to play? I mean, as we talk about teams ready and not ready to play, Dolphins not ready or ready to play in
Dolphins,
a couple of years.
Dolphins are never going to be ready to play.
Steelers not ready to play. Packers and Bears. I would put both these teams under not ready to play. Trubisky didn't attempt a pass in preseason. Rodgers didn't take a snap, and it showed. And they kept saying that in the game, and I wanted to disagree with them, being like, it's preseason, though, and these guys are – well, not all of them are veterans, but these guys are professionals, and they are in there in practice. They're running these plays, but there's something different, and you could tell it was missing.
Scott, ask me what the key to comedy is.
Dan, what's the key to
timing.
Damn it. I knew that.
The timing was off.
Yeah.
For both of these teams. At the quarterback position, the wide receiver position, the timing just wasn't there. Now, you're going to get a lot more live reps in practice now, and I think they'll get it fixed, especially after you get full game speed. You don't have to go, oh, well, let's test our speed again. Valdez-Scantling looked like he's going to be a target for Aaron Rodgers this year. It doesn't look like Jimmy Graham is terrible. Mm. It looks like maybe he's had a healthy offseason. He's going to be productive. This Packers defense does look improved.
Mm-hmm.
They look much improved. Allen Robinson looks like he's the fucking real deal. If only we can find a motherfucker to throw to him accurately.
I'm glad you picked out Allen Robinson. That was the one guy in the Bears offense that showed up to play.
He was like, motherfucker, I played in Jacksonville for years. Please, please, let's go. Let's get started.
Also, though, that coordinator in the offense did not give the Bears a chance to run the ball, get any
insane.
Of those three running backs going.
And especially because David Montgomery in spurts looked like the number one rookie running back coming into the NFL, and still they didn't use him. They didn't utilize him. This game was never out of reach.
No.
Why did you abandon the running game when the game is not out of reach?
That was a big problem in the second half for the Bears.
If I know you're going for headshots, if I'm in a boxing match and I know you're just going for headshots, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to guard my head and leave the body open.
Mm-hmm.
And you could tell that the Packers were guarding the head and leaving the body open, and they didn't hit the body. They didn't run the ball. They could have. They just didn't. I don't know why.
I think it was another way. I feel like the Packers were ready to go, like, I want to see number 10 beat us with his arm. I wanted him to throw over us and see if he can. He couldn't do it, but you're right. There was some success still moving the ball on the ground.
Yeah, they could still run the thing.
They just weren't keeping up with it.
They weren't stuffing him at the line of scrimmage. That's the thing. If they were stuffing him at the line of scrimmage, you said, hey, Mitch Trubisky's going to win this thing.
Right.
You know, Mitchie's going to have to throw.
Also, they didn't let Mitch run, which was something that he desperately wanted to do. He gets a first down early in the game with a spy on him, and then after that point, that wasn't going to work. You're right. He looked unsure and inaccurate. But Rodgers, let's go on the other side. He only threw one touchdown pass. It was to the corner of the end zone where two routes went that direction.
In a bad throw. It was a bad throw, but he tossed
it up there.
Pure balls. And it was one of those things. That was the difference. He's like, I may not be sharp right now, but I got brass balls.
Ugly offense, both sides of the ball. So the defenses did look good, but I want to see exactly how good they still are.
Sam called it, though.
You did. You did. All right, a couple games to talk about for next week. The New England Patriots go to Miami, where it's always dangerous for those Patriots.
Weirdly enough, I'm definitely not picking the Miami Dolphins. Don't get me wrong. But this is just one of those things where we're going to be like, maybe the Miami Dolphins aren't a complete piece of shit. Or Bill Belichick's going to be like, well, if Baltimore beat them that badly, we need to beat them 100-0.
Yeah.
You know, so this is definitely New England's game to take. But don't be surprised if some Miami players show up.
It's weird. This is that one game, but it's so early in the season where the Dolphins are kind of proving that they're not carrying them.
They don't give a shit.
So, yeah, Patriots got to win this one. I mean, you can't pick against them. You really can't.
No.
And then the other game, the Seattle Seahawks going to Pittsburgh, play those Steelers.
I'm going with Seattle. I think even though Seattle has to travel, I think this Pittsburgh team is in a bit of disarray.
Mm.
The defense did not look impressive. They looked predictable on offense and defense, and it doesn't look like Ben's got his timing down with anybody. Juju's still great, but they were just double covering him.
They didn't look great, but this was a New England team, I think, that studied up and were like, we're going to fuck with these Steelers from beginning to end. We know
we're
pretty
even
going
to sign Antonio Brown just to fuck with him.
He won't even be on the field. I'll go out on a limb here. We got to have some difference here. I'm going to take the Steelers at home.
Okay.
And the thoughts that the Seattle Seahawks will trip up on that traveling.
Fair enough.
Going out of Pittsburgh. So
this is a tight game, but I'm giving the edge.
What I'm doing is picking that the Steelers are going to show up, which is something they did not do week one.
Yeah, you never know.
They were not ready, but maybe they will be for two. All right, let's go on. Let's talk about the Atlanta Falcons losing to my Minnesota Vikings 12-28.
Who called this one right?
We both did.
Oh, right.
Okay. I did actually take my Vikings here. Now, I was expecting a much tighter game than I got. It was 28-0 at a point. I enjoyed every single minute of it.
This game was over. I'm surprised Atlanta put 12 points on the board because this was not as close as the final score at all.
Nope.
This was a drubbing.
A lot of talk has been about how Kirk Cousins only attempted 10 passes, and it should be. That is amazing for a quarterback that you're spending all that money with. But if you look at how this game unfolded, very first play from scrimmage, Anthony Barr is on Matt Ryan's back.
Oh, yeah.
Boom, sack. It leads to a punt that gets blocked. So short field, a couple plays later, pass to Thielen, he's in the end zone. They get the ball back on their side of the field again after an interception. A couple plays later, Cook's in the end zone. So they jumped up on him so fast that it kind of made him one-dimensional, and it made the Vikings not have to worry about putting the game on Cousins' shoulders, which sounds great. You can do that a whole lot less. Like, there's no reason that Cousins needs to be your only option, especially now. Dalvin Cook is healthy and a man.
He is best as a facilitator. I picked Dalvin Cook as one of my fast risers this year in fantasy.
I mean, I had him as a high ceiling with Gurley, with Fournette. It was like, you got to stay healthy. But
he is ready to go. He is absolutely ready to be one of the premier running backs in the NFL.
120 total yards, 2 touchdowns in this game. We talk about, Matt Ryan, 2 touchdowns, but 2 interceptions. Didn't look like a Matt Ryan of regular, but...
Didn't look sharp.
Yeah, I'm wondering if that isn't the scenario he was in and the strong defense he went up against. Anthony Harris, my safety, had an awesome game with 2 interceptions. The second one in the back of the end zone when Matt Ryan's just trying to throw it away. Just felt great for me. Every time Atlanta had a good drive going in this one, they either started shooting themselves in the foot, moving backwards, or turning the ball over. And the Vikings ran it and won it the way Mike Zimmer wanted.
This was a Mike Zimmer boner game.
Yeah.
Where he's just like, this is all I wanted. This is the team that I've been wanting for years. This is the team I thought I had 2 years ago. This is the team I thought I had going into last year. He is so excited for what this Vikings team is capable of being.
I love the speech in the locker room afterwards. He was like, all right, now you're going to have people tell you you're good and tell you you're doing a good job and stuff, right? We're going on to the next game. Back to work. I think he was almost upset. That's like, shoot, now people are going to realize that we're not hapless anymore.
Should have won it closer. Yeah. I think that's probably why he let them score 12 in the fourth quarter. He's like, we can't beat them 28 to nothing. That'll give away my hand.
That shows a little too much. Ravens, what are you doing? So this leads us to talk about the Vikings going on the road, play those Green Bay Packers in Lambeau. For me, as being a Vikings fan, this sure feels a whole lot like last season. Open up against a team that could be good. San Francisco was last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then go to week 2 to Lambeau, where we ended in a tie. Damn it, Daniel Carlson. Damn it.
I still think this Vikings team is better than this Packers team. I picked the Vikings to win the NFC North. I'm going to stick with them. I'm going to pick back Vikings over Packers this week.
I mean, watching that Thursday game, it didn't look like the Packers were ready. Now they have more time and get to go home to play this game. So I don't really like how that's set up for the Packers, because I think it becomes one of the bigger games of this division to see how this division plays out, especially if the Bears don't figure this out. And who knows? It's a long season. I want to take my Vikings on the road in Lambeau, though. Yeah, I must be drinking that Kool-Aid. I'm going to take my Vikings.
There you go.
I don't know why, but I'm taking them. All right, let's go on. Let's spend a little bit of time in the AFC East, Dan.
Do we have to?
But we got
to
start with the Redskins, 27, the Eagles, 32.
Oh, the NFC East. I thought you said AFC East.
The NFC East.
I was like, I don't want to talk about that fucking game. But all right, yeah, the NFC East.
Yeah, I thought you were being sarcastic. The Redskins came out to play in this game.
They did.
Jumped up to a lead. It was 17-0 Washington before the Eagles showed up. Case Keenum had 3 touchdowns, 380 yards passing.
That's really good.
Hit McLaurin for 125 yards and a touchdown, the rookie.
I worry that the Philadelphia Eagles are going to be this year's Pittsburgh Steelers. Where they're like, oh, shit, right, this team's ready to play. Okay, we'll match them. This is a team, this is a Philadelphia team that should have soundly beat this Washington Redskins team.
Well, again, you had Carson Wentz not play much in preseason.
Wasn't sharp. Wasn't ready to go.
I don't think the Eagles were ready to go either. I think they were like the Seahawks. They figured it out later on. And how'd they figure out? Deep bombs to DeSean Jackson.
It's the way to go. It's
what is this, 2004? I don't get
it. They're ready to go. Alshon Jeffrey looked really good.
Yep.
DeSean Jackson looked really good. They got the running game. It's a stable of running backs, but they all look productive. It's a good team. It's a strong Philadelphia team.
And what was nice was to see the Washington R words come out there going like, we're not going to get pushed around, and then happen to get pushed around, shows that the Eagles were like, okay, snap out of it. Teams are going to play us. Let's play.
Yeah, they weren't ready for the Redskins, but they got ready for the Redskins. The Redskins are not a great team. I still don't think they're going to be really competitive, but the Washington defense isn't despicable, and they're finding some offensive weapons. I think this is going to be a good team for Dwayne Haskins to inherit for next year.
Oh, okay.
But I don't think the Washington Redskins are going to give anybody trouble really long-term down the road, and I sure hope not.
Let's open up here. There's contrition in this game as well. Darius Geis is getting his knee looked at.
That's a bummer. Two years in a row.
The non-ACL knee, though.
That's even worse.
Yeah. So we'll see. Hopefully everything's healthy. I haven't heard that he's out for a long period of time, but Adrian Peterson was a healthy scratch in this game. And a lot of people, a lot of pundits after the game were talking about, well, you know, when you're up by a bunch of time, you know who'd be great to have back there to run the ball, control it? Adrian Peterson.
He's still the greatest running back I've ever seen run the football. Until he is dead and buried and breaks both of his kneecaps wide open for me to physically inspect them. So if you tell me he tore them, I want to see them opened up because I don't believe you. I think he'll play still with two fractured fibulas and tibias and whatever the fuck he needs to. But a healthy scratch, because I think Washington's like, listen, we got to see what we got in Geis. We're going to lose this Philly team. Fuck it, let's see what he's got. And then they're like, oh, shit, Darius Geis looks pretty good. We might be competitive this year.
I don't know if Jay Gruden likes him either, though, the way they have to run him in like the I formation.
Yeah, because he's not multidimensional.
Right.
He's just the greatest runner of the football that I've ever seen. He is not the best running back I've ever seen.
But it sounds like he'll have to get some snaps here coming up. And then the Eagles lost Malik Jackson to the season foot surgery.
This one's tough, especially after he just came over from the Jags, man. Yeah. You're like, this is a guy that's going to help our defense. But, I mean, I hate it. I hate it because I want to play the Eagles at their best.
Sure.
And Malik Jackson not on that team, you can't be your best.
No.
It's a shame. But Jernigan looked good.
Oh, Jernigan looked fine, yeah. And they have a lot. That's what the Eagles do. They churn out that defense, that front seven. They have to go to Atlanta for Sunday night football this week. Eagles-Falcons.
This is tough. I think this is actually Atlanta.
Okay.
As much as I think they got beat and a little bit embarrassed by the Minnesota Vikings,
hey,
I think they will be ready to go for the Eagles. And the Eagles do not look sharp. I know they have all the weapons in the world. But I also hate the fucking Eagles.
I was going to say, this is starting to feel like last year's podcast where you just would never pick the Eagles.
Yeah, fuck the Eagles.
Even though you did last week.
Yeah, fuck the Eagles. I'm going Falcons. Whenever it's close, fuck the Eagles.
I'm going to take Eagles on the road here. I felt like the Falcons weren't ready, and maybe they still won't be. The Eagles figured it out much quicker than the Falcons did. So I'll take the Eagles on the road. We got another game against each other. How about that? All right, Dan. Spent too much time away from it. We got to talk about it now. Giants, 17. Cowboys 35?
It wasn't even that close.
No, it wasn't.
You know it wasn't that close. Mm. The Giants came out and scored first. That's the craziest thing about this game. This was once 7-0.
I mean, Saquon ran it well to start before they were down by so much that it kind of made him obsolete.
This is the reason why I didn't take Saquon Barkley as the number one overall fantasy pick, everybody, because he is the only option on a bad offense.
Yeah.
And the Cowboys ripped the shit out of this bad Giants team, like we should. This is the sort of team you should beat up. In division, set the pace, set the tone, come out first week, be ready. It's almost a tune-up game for Zeke, but Dak Prescott looked like a fucking superstar.
That was the story of this one. 405 yards and 4 touchdowns, and the way he was throwing that ball is in ways I have not seen him do yet.
He looked fantastic. He looked like he was freed by this offense.
Kellen Moore's offense, how about it?
Called the hell of an offense. And here's the best part about it. Guess what he got Dak to do? Run the ball. Mm. Dak is most effective when he is also a threat to run. Linehan just sat him in the pocket, said, figure it out. Dak is better when it's like, I might run on your ass. You might have to spy me. Oh, now you got to spy me. Now I got a free man.
Oh, yeah, the options and stuff were working great for him. He's hitting not only Cooper for 106 yards, but Gallup for 158.
He threw, what was it, 4 touchdowns?
Yep.
He threw 4 touchdowns, 1 to Cooper, 1 to Gallup.
Nope, I don't think Gallup got
one. 1 to Cooper, 1 to Cobb, 1 to Witten, and then 1 to Dalton Schultz.
Yes, Schultz.
Holy shit, he threw to everybody. Yep. If you played for the Dallas Cowboys on offense, you caught a ball from Dak Prescott this week.
He spread around, whereas Manning had Barkley and Evan Engram, and that was it. Engram had 11 catches, 116 yards, and touchdown because all their receivers are hurt.
Evan Engram looks good. He looks like a good tight end. We had him ranked pretty highly in preseason.
Now, the Giants don't have a great secondary, but Dak still carved them up.
Carved them to pieces.
And Giants drives just kept stalling. Even when they looked like they could move the ball, a little bit on Dallas' defense, actually more so early on than I thought they'd have success doing against that stout defense.
Yeah.
I was like, they're moving it. But then it became one-dimensional, and Cowboys were, all right, we're going to put our foot on your neck.
There's a great thing where Jeff Heath was talking about trying to catch Saquon Barkley, and he's like, I couldn't fucking touch him. He's like, that motherfucker is crazy good. Saquon Barkley is crazy good. I hope two things. For the sake of Saquon Barkley, I hope he does not become Barry Sanders.
Yeah.
For the sake of the New York Giants, I hope he becomes Barry Sanders, where he plays on middling bullshit teams for the rest of his career.
As long as he stays a Giant.
As long as he stays a Giant. If he goes somewhere else and goes to the AFC, go bananas. But if you stay in the NFC East and you stay in the Giants, I hope you don't have success. I hope you put up numbers, but you never see success.
All right, so let's talk about the Cowboys going to Washington, play those Redskins.
Are we having this conversation?
Yeah, Dan, this gives you more time to talk Cowboys.
Holy shit, the Cowboys are going to beat the shit out of the Washington Redskins because the Washington Redskins didn't get the shit kicked out of them this week.
Uh-uh.
They didn't.
Uh-uh.
So you can't say, oh, yeah, this is a trap game. They looked good against a division rival, or they looked adequate against a division rival. Instead, the Cowboys are ready to go, and they're going to fucking murder them.
This is a Dallas team on the road. However, they do get an opportunity to do that with the Redskins. So I'll take the Cowboys.
Oh, you would.
One too.
You yeah. would.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how they are on the road.
Don't you put that evil.
All right,
don't
now
you put
we,
that evil out there.
Now we got to go AFC East. We must. Bills 17, Jets 16. We both took the Jets, so we get this one wrong.
How did this not make it into the 2 minute no offense? We talk about sloppy fucking games.
I guess
with
it
Tampa
was.
Bay and 49ers, but God, this was a piece of shit.
It was a tale of two halves. I thought the Jets showed up in the first half, and then the Bills went, okay, we can still win this, and then went and did. They hit John Brown there at the end of the, you know, maybe 2.5-3 minutes left.
Bad defense.
It was. The Bills turned the ball over four times in this game. Four times in the first half. It was 0-6 Jets. It was 0-16 Jets with 7 minutes left in the third. So really, the Bills only played for like a quarter and a half.
About 8 minutes.
But it was enough to beat the Jets, so that's got to speak volumes here. C.J. Mosley left with a groin injury, and the Jets' defense just weren't the same.
Yeah, that's tough, because he had an early pick six, and he looked fucking great. C.J. Mosley looked like a legit fucking threat.
Yeah.
Josh Allen did not look great, but did enough. You know, he had two picks. He was mildly more accurate. I think he was around 60% completion percentage, so I guess that's okay. The other thing is Sam Darnold has not impressed me.
I know.
In his first two seasons. He just looks like a middling quarterback.
And that's what I was kind of worried about he would be, and that's too high to take him then as the Jets for your franchise. If that's what he's going to be, he's like, yeah, second, third round guy.
Yeah.
I
mean, he's got the first round talent, but you're like, what's his fucking ceiling at this point? Is it world beater? It doesn't feel like it.
I mean, it's on a Jets team. It's a Jets team that's still trying to get figured out, so we'll see how that goes.
They were using Le'Veon Bell, though. You know,
they were.
You know, he was starting to be featured as what he was in Pittsburgh, where it's like, I can run, I can catch, just use me as a weapon. You know, he had less than 100 all-purpose yards, but he still had a touchdown out of it.
Yeah, the touchdown, and he got that two-point conversion.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills, then, on their running back side, was using Singletary, the rookie, and he's looking pretty good. So that's somebody, too, to look out for.
Which we watched.
Forward.
We always said Devin Singletary is a guy to watch out for.
Bills, with their -3 in turnovers, only 7 times in the last 20 years has that happened, and the team still wins.
Yeah, this didn't feel like a good Jets offense. It felt like a good Jets defense. And then when that went away, it just felt like Josh Allen was getting away with shit that he shouldn't have been getting away with because he did not have a good first half.
No. And then the other thing that I want to bring up, the Jets kicker is now Corey Vedvik, who missed an extra point. Jets lose by 1.
Oy.
Yeah, these things happen. You need good kickers. All right, let's move on and talk about Bills.
You certainly do.
Staying in the New York State, they're going to be playing the Giants this week. Bills at Giants.
Ooh, this is pretty tough. This was a really bad Giants secondary.
Mm-hmm.
Really bad. But I don't believe in these Buffalo Bills.
I know. The Bills aren't going to be throwing it all over the place, so.
the Giants didn't look disgusting in the first half. They got exposed when it was like, oh, yeah, the Cowboys just have more weapons than you. I don't know if the Bills have more weapons than them. Mm. I'm going to take the Giants.
Okay. I have a thought about this game already here a little bit. I like the Bills just because defense alone, I feel like yeah. they have a more talented side on that. I'm going to see a low-scoring kind of mulling game, and the Bills somehow sneak out another win, maybe go 2-0. I'm taking the Bills, go 2-0.
I think the Dallas defense is better than the Bills' defense, and I think you're at a point where Saquon Barkley gives you fits no matter how good your defense is.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think if they actually run the ball with Saquon, they have a chance to win this game.
And that's a good point, too. It could go either way. So there we go.
We shall find out soon.
All right, let's talk about the Titans beating up on those Cleveland Browns, those Super Bowl near champion Cleveland Browns.
God.
43-13 in this one.
And who looked like shit? Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
Looked like a complete road dog shit.
I mean, the Browns as a whole just really, I mean, they started with the strong drive to start the game. You're like, here we go. This is going to be a fun year. And they didn't put another drive together, really.
No, because I think they were out of fucking juice. I mean, we talk about Freddie Kitchens, who was like, going to be the coach of the year. Freddie Kitchens was anointed. Freddie Kitchens is the man. Mm-hmm. He's Cleveland's man. How you feeling? How you feeling, Cleveland? Because you know who was mad about all this Cleveland love? Our boy down in Tennessee, who just said, I'm Marcus Mariota, motherfuckers. I was the number two pick. This motherfucker was the number one. I beat number one picks all the fucking time. I'm way better than Jameis Winston. I'm better than this motherfucker. And he didn't have an outstanding game from like a passing standpoint, but he had a great game from a playmaking standpoint. Yeah. He made fucking plays.
He threw three touchdowns in this game. Derrick Henry came in big with 161 total yards from scrimmage. A lot of that on that one touchdown run where they looked like the Music City Miracle again. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, all those blockers down the side. A.J. Brown, the rookie wide receiver, 100-yard game. Nice. And then the Titans D, I think, almost other than the Browns looking like shit, the other story of this is the Tennessee Titans defense might be a little bit better this year.
And they lived in the backfield.
Five sacks, a safety, three interceptions, just dominated all the way.
They were living in the backfield, and Baker Mayfield was not ready for them.
Also, 18 penalties for the Browns in this game. 18.
How you like that Kevin Zeitler loss?
Yeah.
Right?
No, this was, you're right. I think a lot of this lands on not only Mayfield, but the coaching. You started falling behind before halftime. There didn't seem to be any adjustments that worked.
There's so no plan.
They weren't ready to go, yeah. The plan might have been, let's get some exciting players on this team. You still need a game plan. You still need to figure out how you're going to win.
Oh, believe me, the Cowboys had that shit for years, and we couldn't offensive coordinate our way out of a paper bag.
So as we talk about this, and oh boy, the Browns are in trouble, now we get to talk about Monday Night Football, Browns at the New York Jets.
I think the Browns are going to get healthy again.
Okay.
You know, especially with Mosley, if Mosley's still hurt, if he's going to be out for a longer period of time, I'm not loving the Jets' chances this year against moderate teams.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to lose the Bills. Of course, I think they're going to lose this Browns team, which I still think might make the playoffs. I still think I was going back and forth with them in Baltimore. I'm still going back and forth with them in Baltimore.
Okay.
The Browns team is a good team. Yeah. They came out and they got fucking frog stomped by a Tennessee team that was ready and was done with the fucking hype. I think Cleveland might be done with the hype. Maybe they can settle down and focus on being a good team again.
It's almost, and we'll see how the season progresses, but this almost could be the best way for the Browns to week one to go other than dominating is let's get smacked in the mouth a little bit, you haven't won anything yet. Now it's time to go win, and oh good, you get these Jets and some bright lights to do it under.
You
this
ain't
is
won
your
shit.
Chance.
Go 1-1, start over.
Yeah.
Start over. Nobody ever lost a season going 0-1.
No, and you don't have to win super convincingly against these Jets either. Just go out and get that win.
Yeah.
I like them to bounce back in this game too. I'm going to take the Browns on the road. I'm taking a lot of road teams. I don't know.
Hey,
the
road teams had a winning record last week.
Yes. Maybe that's why.
That's not in your crazy stat, is it?
No, okay, it wasn't. This one was a home team winning, but fun game to watch. Colts at Chargers. The Colts lose 24, Chargers 30. It took overtime to figure it out.
Not for lack of trying by that. More than adequate Jacoby Brissett.
Jacoby Brissett and then Mac, too.
This Indianapolis team is not abysmal. This was a team that was ready to go, that was loaded with talent, and Jacoby Brissett is the best backup in the NFL. Guys, you're not out of it. I still don't think you're going to win that AFC South, but you're not out of it. This is a potential wild card team.
It speaks to me volumes of what Frank Reich is doing there. And I felt like watching this game, like, damn, this guy's a good coach. And maybe we find out that he was a reason why the Eagles took it all the way 2 years ago.
Because it certainly wasn't your offensive coordinator.
No, because he's now in Jacksonville, and we're seeing how well he's doing there, aren't we not, with DeFilippo. The Chargers looked very good, but they just kept the door open for these Colts, and the Colts came back. Rivers at 333 total yards, 3 touchdowns, an interception. Austin Eckler making everybody say Gordon who.
Go bananas.
154 total yards from scrimmage and 3 touchdowns.
Mostly out of the passing game. The guy had 96 yards receiving and 2 touchdowns.
You know who's kind of worth hanging this loss on? Might be Adam Vinatieri.
He's done enough.
He missed an extra point and 2 field goals. That adds up to 7 points.
Sure. Sure. But, you know.
Yeah.
It's tough. Especially on the road. Even though you got a non-existent Chargers fan base, you're still got to fly all the way to fucking California to do this thing.
Chargers led this game 9-24 in the third quarter. It was 16-24 late in that game. But again, you were big on the Chargers defense. Mm-hmm. This didn't look good, at least late in the game when they could have put it away.
Yeah, this was a team that did not step on the throat. Mm-hmm. That's always a worry for the Chargers teams. You go, are you going to step on the throat? Are you going to have the killer instinct
that you
need?
That's not something the Chargers do a lot.
Yeah, they've got all the talent in the world, but no kill. I think Derwin James was their best kill option, and he's out. So when he comes back, we might see a resurgent, murderous Chargers defense.
That'd be nice. And then the Colts are going to lose Funchess. He broke his collarbone.
Nobody gives a shit about Devin Funchess.
They still got T.Y. 2 touchdowns in this one.
All T.Y., baby.
All right. The Colts go to Tennessee, play those Titans AFC South matchup.
Hey, these Titans look mean, man. They
in fact,
look
all
mean.
Of the AFC South are hitting each other this week.
Yeah, dude, the Titans look mean. They look like an angry motherfucking group of people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going Tennessee. Tennessee took the hype of the Cleveland Browns and stuffed it in the fucking trash.
Yeah.
I think they're going to take the surprise happiness of the Colts and be like, fuck that in the trash, too.
I think the Titans at home against the division is another beast. They know these teams now pretty well. If Andrew Luck was there, that's a different...
Very different situation.
Yeah, different setup.
I don't think it's going to be a blowout by any stretch of the imagination, but I feel like Tennessee is more complete right now.
I'm on your side there. I'm taking the Titans, too. All right, let's talk about the tie that happened in the desert. Lions and Cardinals finished the game at 27 each. Oh, boy.
Matthew Stafford perpetually disappoints me.
Yeah, and the Lions to that effect,
God,
too.
God, what a... What a joke-ass organization.
He did throw over 385 yards and 3 touchdowns. Prove that T.J. Hockenson is going to be a weapon.
T.J. Hockenson is a fucking monster. He's a fucking beast.
Oh, man, nobody could guard him. And then,
but this is another team that does not put the foot on the throat.
No. Amendola came up with 104 yards and a touchdown, and then he forgot to get out of bounds on one play. The Lions' D had 5 sacks, 3 of them Kennard alone. But as bad as these Cardinals looked for 3/4 of that game, maybe more so, late in that fourth quarter, the Lions looked tired. The Cardinals went, all right, let's play 7-on-7, basically. Run around there, couple of amazing diving catches by Larry Fitzgerald, and all of a sudden, the Cardinals climbed back into this game, took it to overtime, and it kind of felt like the Lions lost there. I mean, they didn't lose. They don't have a loss in the L column yet, but this sure feels like a Lions loss.
Kyler Murray threw the ball 54 times.
Yeah.
54 times. That's not how you win a game in Arizona. That's not going to be how you win the game in Arizona. David Johnson looked like he was all right. Larry Fitzgerald playing hero ball is the only reason they had a fucking chance.
You can't give up the 18-point lead against these Cardinals.
You cannot. You know they're not very good. You know they're a run-heavy team. Just put 2 fucking dudes on Larry. I cannot believe Larry Fitzgerald is still as good as he is. I'm shocked.
So we're getting near the end here of the show. A couple more games to talk about, and then the last Monday night one. First of all, Chargers at Lions. What are we thinking?
Two teams that absolutely... I think this game is gonna end in a tie somehow. Because they're both going to be like, would you like to score? No. You go right ahead.
Please.
I wouldn't dare to finish you off.
I just scored. I think you should deserve to score.
Why don't we just trade back and forth and see how the time goes?
Sounds great.
God, bunch of assholes.
But who are you taking?
I'm taking the Chargers. They're a better team.
Yeah, Chargers have more talent on their side. In Detroit, might make it interesting, but I mean, these are road warriors, these Chargers. I'll take the Chargers, too.
They don't want to play at home.
They don't have a home. And then the Arizona Cardinals are going to the team that just scored 59, the Baltimore Ravens.
You best believe I'm taking these fucking Ravens.
Cardinals in? It's in Baltimore.
Great. Yeah. Then I'm definitely taking
the
Ravens.
I'm trying over here.
Yeah, I don't believe in this Arizona Cardinals team. And also, by the way, if I have a defense that knows how to stop a fucking run-heavy quarterback, it's the Baltimore Ravens
that's
defense.
Right.
So, like, hey, Lamar, how do we stop you? Oh, just do this. Okay, so I'll stop somebody that's not as good as you? Great.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
This is just another game that's going to be in that two-minute no offense with that Patriots-Dolphins next week.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I hope so.
I'll take Ravens in this one, too. I'm very interested to see whenever Jackson and the Ravens get an actual opponent and how good they are.
And I do want to take some back. Kyler Murray didn't look fucking terrible this game. He looked bad in the first half.
Yeah.
He looked like when you took the reins off him and just kind of let him find space and play, he looked talented. He looks athletic, but he's not making great reads.
Right.
He's got the arm talent, still not feeling pressure very well.
He's an athletic, speedy guy that can fling that ball down there, but you're right. He's a rookie still, and it's very much showing that he's a rookie.
Yeah, let's pump the brakes. Hopefully he has a Lamar Jackson a la Lamar Jackson resurgence to next year, but this year, this is what you're going to get out of Kyler Murray. Going to make some bad decisions, going to throw some balls a little wide, going to scramble when he should probably just tuck the ball and throw.
That's what happens. All right, final game of week one. This is what happens when you put a Monday night game starting so late in the evening. I mean, the kickoff was around like 10 o'clock
this game's
Eastern
still going
Standard
on,
Time.
Isn't it?
It feels like that way. But the Raiders win in Oakland, Broncos 16, Raiders 24.
This Raiders team...
Oh, wait, who took the Raiders? I did.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
This Broncos defense was not ready to go, and Joe Flacco looks fucking terrible. They can't wait to get Drew Lock in there now.
He's standing around way too long with that ball.
He's just a fucking statue, man. Yep. He's a statue, and it's not like he's a jugs machine. He's still throwing inaccurate balls. Mm-hmm. I don't understand what Denver saw in him. I don't think he's going to get any of that money on the back end of his contract. Motherfucker's getting cut at the end of this year. I don't think he's going to be the starter in week 8.
A couple of surprise people in this game. That's what I took away from it. Cortland Sutton for the Broncos could be their number one wide receiver by the end of this
year. We've
been
ringing that Cortland Sutton bell for 2 years now.
I've loved the way he's played. 120 yards in this game. And then on the other side for the Raiders, Tyrell Williams. Somebody needed to step up as a weapon and wide receiver, and it was Tyrell Williams, the old Charger. And then Josh Jacobs, the rookie running back, had a good start, 113 total yards and 2 touchdowns.
He was always a pretty complete back. We liked him as a complete back. I thought Montgomery was better, but he looks like he's going to play in the NFL, and he looks like he's a quality starter.
These Raiders jumped up on a 14-0 lead. They ran the ball well, so the Broncos just didn't have a chance to fight their way back into this one.
This was early Chargers, early Raiders, and then it was over. So it's when you have a team that's predicated on defense and predicated on running the ball, you've got to keep it close, and you've got to run that shit. If you let Oakland get up, you lose.
Yeah, Denver, that's not a good way to do it. Who knows how good these Raiders are? We'll find out. All right, last two games here for next week to talk about. Chicago Bears to Denver, play those Broncos.
I have taken these Denver Broncos. I've been talking about this for 2 weeks. I'm going to take the Broncos facing this Bears team.
That's right.
Because Fangio has the recipe to beat the shit out of Trubisky.
Hmm.
And I think you saw it a little bit, with the Packers, Trubisky may not have been ready. I think the Bears are going to start 0-2.
Two teams that desperately want to run the ball and play strong smash-mouth defense, so it's going to be nice to see them against each other. It is so hard to win in Denver. Ah, fine, I'll take the Broncos, too.
There you go.
I feel like I'm going to lose out on this, and the Bears are going to pop back in and go, ha, we're good, told you. But until they actually show it, and I did not see it at all on Thursday night.
Show it to me.
Even with the shortest time between games for the Broncos and the longest for the Bears, I'll take the Broncos.
Show it to me.
And then finally, the Kansas City Chiefs are heading to Oakland to play the Raiders.
It's going to be the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I think the Raiders come
good
back.
Good for you, Oakland.
Right.
Good for you.
Yeah,
but you're going to start 1-1. You're going to start
1-1. 1-1's not bad for the Raiders after last year, but these Kansas City Chiefs are for real. They are a class of the NFL, and the Raiders are going to come back down to earth.
I think so.
All right, Dan. First of all, you guys, this is the show. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode.
Can you believe it started, Scott?
Oh.
Both of our teams are 1-0.
I know. The Sunday was wonderful. All the games were a lot of fun. I watched most of the Monday night stuff, too. I mean, this is what we love to talk about. So we're so glad you guys are.
They got to stop doing those late Monday night games. Daddy got to sleep.
Yeah, no. The kickoff's now just 7 o'clock, just one game on Monday. The rest of the time. Till week 17 when they get rid of it completely. But get ready. Thursday night, Buccaneers at Panthers. We get going again. We do this show every week. We have it out on Wednesday, so you have some type of football fix there.
Gotta have it.
Good time for your waiver wires and stuff like that for fantasy, but otherwise, we're getting you ready for that next week, Thursday kickoff.
Get stocked up.
Listen to all of the podcasts that come out for Universe Head. We are part of the Universe Head family, and there's a lot of great podcasts done by our close friends there, and they're great.
Check them out. They're funny as shit.
Very funny shit. All right, some crazy stats to leave us with. The New England Patriots, there's stats aplenty for them. They have given up just 13 total points in the first half over the last six games.
Christ!
13 total just the first half, and that is counting their playoff run last year.
Good groogly moogly.
Lamar Jackson also became the youngest QB to have a perfect QB rating.
Because he's beautiful and he's perfect, and I love him.
We'll see how perfect he is.
We will.
And then finally, the other one, I don't have any guesses one for you this week, but another fun stat. DeSean Jackson now has 31 touchdowns at 50 yards or longer. He only one wide receiver has more, Jerry Rice.
Deep threat. People forget how fast Jerry Rice was when he first came out. He was Flash 80.
Yeah.
DeSean Jackson, just a deep play machine.
Sean Jackson still got the speed, even
at
this age.
That deep ball, baby. That deep ball.
Yeah. All right. That does it for our show. As we wrap up, Dan, any parting words of wisdom?
I said before, don't panic. But if you go 0-2, maybe start to press that panic button just a little bit. It's really hard.
Stats aren't on your side.
It's really hard to go 0-2 and do anything in the season. You are fighting that shit all the way. The best you can do in the first quarter is 2-2. Because you break the season down into quarters. If you start first quarter and you're 2-2, you're probably going to end up 8-8. It tends to be the way it goes. It's just the law of averages. So try to win the game. Try not to go 0-2. Try to go 2-0 if you can. If your team won one, oh boy, hope you keep that streak alive.
So those 0-1 teams sweating bullets here week two. Those 1-0 teams, feeling pretty good.
All right. We're adult men.
Thank you guys so much for joining us. I am Scott.
And this is Dan.
That was the Push Off Podcast. We'll see you next week. Talk about those games. Good night.